theme song to the old sitcom Great American Hero?
Yes, it is.
And why are we hearing that?
Because, listen, I wanted to introduce Ben Wickler in the only way I knew how. And first of all, it's going to be with a can of Evers Ale, because I know that he's working real hard to get Evers reelected. Crap, guys. Oh, there it is. Evers reelected. So we're going to take a sip of that. Ben went to go ran and get his beer while we were in the musical break. But there we go. Nuclear Spotted Cow. Way to go. So the reason I wanted to play Great American Hero is because Ben Wickler, I've been very vocal about how I would like the Democratic Party to be more progressive, to move further, to act more about prosecuting insurrectionists in Wisconsin. But I do realize how hard it is to be the chairman of the Democratic Party, because as a rule, Democrats are like cats, and it's hard to herd cats because we have independent thoughts. We all think we can do it better than somebody else can do it. We are not uniformly coerced to like say one message all the time. And so I know how hard Ben's job is. And not only that, even if I disagree with the Democratic Party sometimes, I'm always gonna be a Democrat. And I also wanted to say, like, he helped get rid of the worst president we've ever had. He was instrumental. Biden won by 20,000 votes in Wisconsin, and we were one of the swing states. And without Ben, that might have not happened. And Ben did some of the craziest, coolest, creative stuff I've ever seen, because he had like Mandy Patinkin on like we were raising. I'm a musical theater guy. Like, that's what I did for a while. Like, I was like, holy cow. Like, this dude's bringing in unbelievable actors, Hollywood actors, and doing stage readings of all these awesome movies to raise money to help get the word out to get rid of Trump and get Biden in. And to that, for that, you're a great American hero. And that's why we play that song today, Ben Wickler.
And with that, that's all the time we have for the roast of Ben Wickler. So we want to thank Don Rickles and Kirk Bangsted and everybody else for being here. All right, Ben, we've established that, you're a very well-respected party leader, but we've got to talk about these nonpartisan elections for a second. And I want to throw this up to you. Two things can be true at once. One, party politics is playing a bigger role than ever in what have traditionally been nonpartisan elections. Two, that doesn't mean active Republicans and active Democrats can't be good members of school boards, county boards, and so on. Tell me I'm right or wrong.
That is absolutely right. And I am fine with people who are from either party or no party serving in, especially local nonpartisan office. My problem is when insurrectionists and stop the stealers and history deniers and conspiracy theorists decide to take over local government as a means to advance a hyper-partisan, hyper-right-wing agenda. And that is what we see across the state. And that's why we see not only the Republican Party itself, but far-right super PACs like Restoration PAC, which is run by Dick Uihlein, one of the biggest funders of the Stop the Steal rally, that is running TV ads in Green Bay right now, pushing lies about the 2020 election. They are getting involved in local, quote unquote, nonpartisan elections to try to grab local government and jerk it hard to the right in order to, frankly, lay the groundwork for a Trump coup in 2024. And that is a line that to me is not okay to cross. And that's why I think no matter what your politics are, but certainly if you're a Democrat or someone who doesn't believe that we should become an authoritarian country, this is the time to get involved. And frankly, you might be working for candidates who you might disagree with about partisan issues, but you're working to get people into office who believe in democracy. And that should be something that unites us all.
All right. So Ben, we started hearing about this. You know this guy too. It's Hans Breiten Moser. He's one of the heroes for anti-gerrymandering movement, the Fair Maps movement. We had him on the show like maybe last November or October. And he said, whenever the people had to take out their stuff to become candidates, he's like, there's been nobody. He's like, it's unprecedented how many people are running for the county board in Lincoln County, you know, Merrill, Wisconsin. He's like, this is unprecedented. And a lot of these people have never, ever been involved in government before. They could care less about actually running the county of Lincoln County. They are just really mad that Trump got beat, and they want to put their foot on the scale of the election of 2024. When did you start hearing about this stuff going on? And when did the Democratic Party of Wisconsin kind of say, okay, now it's time for us to try to get involved, even though these are nonpartisan elections?
So we heard about it last summer, because Steve Bannon has this podcast called the War Room Podcast, and he started going on his show every day calling for people to become poll workers and to run for local office so that they, I mean, I would say so they can mangle and undermine future elections. He says so that they can restore election integrity and, you know, stop Democratic voter fraud. But they literally are talking about these local offices like the future of the Republic depends on it. And if people who are trying to endanger the future of the Republic take control of local election systems, then the future of the Republic does depend on it. Our state, it was the tipping point in the last two presidential elections, back to back. And in both elections, you lose two or three votes per precinct, and it goes the other way. If we'd been able to gain two or three votes per precinct in 2016, we would have stopped Trump in Wisconsin. And I think the Republicans are very conscious of this. They're also conscious that if they can claim there's fraud, and it doesn't take any evidence for them to be able to do that, but if they have enough people who can who stand up and claim that there's fraud in their area, and then they control the levers of power at the state level, then they have all the ingredients they need to pull off what they came within a hair's breadth of doing in 2020. You know, Timothy Ramphin, who's running for governor, has put forward a bill that would, if it's passed, it would allow the attorney general, if the attorney general claims that there's enough fraud, to nullify any election in which the margin of victory is less than the number of absentee ballots, which is, you know, every presidential election in this century, and call for a redo, and potentially could do that ad infinitum, as far as I understand the bill. This is all of a piece. It's of a piece to be able to kick up a ton of dust and then call it smoke and say, where there's smoke, there must be fire, and then, you know, bring the fire hoses out. And that is a recipe that profoundly threatens the core idea of our Constitution, of our country, and of our state.
So, Ben, what advice do you have? There seems to be this phenomena by which dark Republican money infuses into these local races, putting the Democratic Party in a position to do something to help these local candidates who don't have the big money to combat this. But then the response is, well, look, the Democratic Party's getting involved in nonpartisan races. How do we disentangle this so people understand, no, this is a response to this dark money push that we seem to ignore when we talk about this?
I don't believe in unilateral disarmament. That, to me, is the fundamental thing. So if the Republican Party and right-wing dark money groups stay out of a local election and candidates say, we don't want to run as partisans, then I totally get that. But I was talking to a candidate for judge today who is an independent, running as an independent and in a nonpartisan race, but the Republican Party has now endorsed and is running constant radio ads and sending out mail on behalf of his opponent. So he's just decided in this final stretch to agree to accept support from the Democratic Party. And if the Republican Party wants to support him, he'll welcome that too, to make sure that he's communicating with voters. So one thing is that a lot of times once candidates see what the other side is doing, they ask for help. And I would say that, you know, anyone who's in a position to provide it should be ready to be able to turn it on. But the other thing is, regardless of any individual candidate, you can go out and make sure that people vote who share your values. And that kind of just core get out the vote activity, making sure that everyone who listens to this show, for example, not only casts a ballot on April 5th, but also calls three friends and gets them to vote too, that can make the difference. The core of the game in these local races is turnout. If you look at 2014, the last time we didn't have any statewide candidates on the ballot, the total number of votes cast in the spring election was 505,000, which is less than 1/6 the number in 2020. So you can flip a race like this just by turning out your friends and family. And that is what we need to do on April 5th.
Okay, so Ben, I'm gonna kind of tie. You said kick up dust to create smoke, to say where there's smoke, there's fire, there must be election fraud. This is why my super PAC has taken Ron Johnson Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald to court because we are accusing them in federal court of kicking up dust to create smoke to then say where there's smoke, there's fire. And that's why the Eastman Chesboro lawyers for Trump, you know, were hoping to get fraudulent electors. So this whole thing started with Trump. This whole thing started and it's sifted down. And now you have, you know, talk show hosts getting county board people to get all riled up because of a false narrative. So I guess, you know, it's maybe not a question, but I want you to respond. It's like my thoughts are this election, this on April 5th is really integral to fighting for democracy in Wisconsin and America, because the big lie has now made it to local elections, city, county, and school board. And we have to turn out on April 5th in order to hold our democracy together.
It is 100% true. This is a domino that could push over a bigger domino and a bigger domino and actually affect the future of American democracy. The elections that are happening in 6 days, it's not an exaggeration to say they could affect the rest of all of our lives and all of our kids' lives and their lives. And the crazy thing about this political moment is that we can have national elections that can genuinely hinge on what happens in Wisconsin, and elections in Wisconsin, four of the last six, have come down to less than one percentage point, a few 10,000s of votes. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, a rogue city council can actually affect. So this really is go time. And I'm thrilled that we've seen thousands of volunteers doing get out the vote work. We have record numbers of absentee ballots that have already been cast. And we know that those are overwhelmingly likely to be people who share our values casting those absentee ballots. But we're about to see a tsunami of right-wing turnout, and we need to overtop it to stop them from taking over local government and then ripping the social contract in half.
On the subject of creeping authoritarianism, I want to switch gears here, but you're a great person to talk to about this. Following the Inspector Clouseau worthy investigation of Mike Gabelman, which led to an open records lawsuit against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, to a court deciding today to hold Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in contempt for not releasing records that were sought under a public information request, an open records request. That kind of flouting of a court's authority, Ben, what's the significance of that, that the Speaker of the State Assembly, the state's most powerful Republican, feels like he can get away with that along with everything else? Arm gesture sweeps widely.
Robin Voss learned it from Scott Walker and Donald Trump. Every time a Republican gets away with breaking the law with no accountability, it opens the door for other Republicans to do the same thing. And, you know, as Democrats, we expect our elected officials to maintain standards of behavior, and we hold them accountable when they don't. Republicans do not have the same expectations. As a party, they seem to kind of, especially with their political leadership, delight in people getting away with it, whatever it might be. And that's why you have to create consequences. And if you know, the courts or law enforcement don't do it, voters have to do it, and political parties have to do it, and ultimately reach a point where Republicans know.
Or that, super PACs have to do it. Let's or be
super
honest.
I mean, I can't direct super PAC activity. I'm a party official. But I will say that as a society, there needs to be consequences for thumbing your nose at the law and doing things that we have made illegal in the interest of public transparency and public service. It is outrageous what Robin Voss is doing and what Gabelman is doing. And there should be accountability for it. And the whole idea behind gerrymandering is to eliminate accountability so they can get away with whatever they want. And we have to fight back.
And with that, I'm thinking hashtag Shannon Zimmerman, who's going on year six of his voter and election fraud. So while there is not mass scale voter fraud, and that is a lie, in his case, he continues to do it. But it seems to be this twisted take on power that because I can and no one's going to stop me, that makes me better than everyone else. And the voters seem to be okay with it. And then why? I mean,
most voters aren't. Republicans have lost, if you ask Kevin Nicholson, 11 of the last 12 statewide elections. And one of the fascinating things is we watch Republicans turn on their own and the Toss Voss movement gain steam in parts of Wisconsin, is that they're blaming each other. Their narrative is that they're not ruthless enough to hold on to power. I think the reality is they're so feckless and so fundamentally unaccountable to the public that they're doing things that are reprehensible. And people do notice that. They've drawn the lines in a way that makes it hard to get majorities, but there is absolutely a reckoning here.
We got to run, Ben Wickler. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate it. And thank you all for joining us up at the cabin. We'll see you up north.